Jessica.
And Mickey, and a boy who may or may not be a good boy. I don't know.
He sometimes is. He's being a little bad boy right now. But okay, so I actually watched some stuff besides Vampire Diaries, and that I was like powering through. And like I had this conversation recently where like not a lot of people who haven't watched Vampire Diaries, I feel like they don't know how big it is. Like every sister-in-law in the world has watched this series, and they all have an opinion on which brother is the best one. But I watched Zone of Interest with Jonathan. Well, he directed it. Jonathan Glazer.
Mm-hmm.
He did Under the Skin.
Glazer.
Yep. And he also did Birth, which I feel like Birth is super underrated, at least to me, because no one liked it when it came out, and I fucking love that movie. Have you ever seen it?
Didn't he do Sexy Beast as well? I love that movie.
Okay, have you seen Birth? Okay.
No. I know what you're... I had nothing against seeing it. I just never got around to it.
No, yeah, people hate it because, like, it's this weird little boy that tells Nicole Kidman that he's, like, reincarnated as her husband who died. It's fucking weird, mm-hmm. but I really like it. I think both, like, the little boy actor and, well, I don't know his name, and Nicole Kidman, they're really great in it. But Zone of Interest is really interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I feel like, they didn't really like it. And so what it is, it's just, like, a family, a Nazi family from World War II make a home right outside of Auschwitz. And it's just about, like, their daily life. But it's more like, it's an obvious, like, portrayal of, like, how we live with, like, deep denial within ourselves. Or at least, like,
yeah, of course.
The oblivion of, to be oblivious to the horrors around you because you have what you've always dreamed of. It's really fucked up. But it is, I can see some people are like, oh, it's boring, but it's like just like a daily struggle in this like Nazi officer's life, his family life, while like atrocities are going around. And it reminded me a little bit of Roy Anderson, except like it wasn't funny, but it kind of like, you know, how he takes these like really grotesque like points of human history and like kind of makes a joke out of them. Like it almost felt like that too, because of how much these people didn't care about the world around them. I loved it. I thought it was excellent. Yeah.
It was playing at the Vista, and my wife and I were going to go to a movie on New Year's Eve. Yeah, just like, well, let's go to a movie on New Year's Eve. And then maybe go to a party, or maybe not, whatever. But then, like, the only thing that was playing at the Vista was Zone of Interest. Like, I'm not
doing that on New Year's
Eve. It's
not a feel-good movie. It's not.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to...
I tried, like, 15 minutes into it. I was like, oh, God, I can't... but it was really good. I really liked it. I definitely going to put that on the list of like better movies that came out in 2023. And then speaking of, I also watched The Holdovers, which I kind of love just for the fact that I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like this movie feels really good. And while tragic things happened in it, it still like had a more happier ending without anyone in the immediate character space dying.
I haven't seen it yet. Want to.
I did really like it. And I feel weird about Paul Giamatti. Like, there's some people that, and this is going to sound really bad, but I just hate their face so much that I can't watch them in things, even though they're a good actor. And he's one of them.
That's a real shame, because Paul Giamatti is not only a great actor, but he's also, like, he's a big, like, genre film fan. Like, you know, when Bubba Hotep came out and they wanted, like, a sequel, like, and Bruce Campbell's like, I don't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. Like, Paul Giamatti was, like, really, because he was going to play Colonel Parker in the sequel, and, like, he was a real champion of that movie. He just did a Criterion, you know, that, did you ever watch the Criterion channels, like, or it's on YouTube where it's, like, the Criterion closet, and they throw, like,
Them on Instagram.
And the person just gets and the people just get to pick whatever they want. I'm like, God damn it, like, I want that, you know, I want to be in that closet. His first choice was, like, Carnival of Souls. And then he's just, like, picking random genre films. And, like, I'm like, Paul Giamatti,
listen,
I would hang out
cool
with you.
He's cool, and he's a good actor. That's what I'm saying. But I just don't like his face. Same with that guy, Matt. I think his name is Matt Smith. He was in the new Targaryen
The guy from Doctor Who? He's awesome.
Again, I just don't like his face. I don't like it so much that I avoid things he's in. But when I do watch him, I'm like, he's good actor. But it's just one of those things. Sorry, Paul Giamatti. But The Holdovers is great. I really loved it. And it feels good at the end, and you're kind of like, Like, some people are like, oh, yeah. And I was like, does a film have to be great? Like, can't a feel-good film also be great? So, you know. And then I also saw Napoleon. I actually didn't see the last 10 minutes. I shut it off, and I didn't care too much afterwards. But it is one of those movies that I kind of feel like is a joke. And now I'm like, what the fuck was he doing with this movie? It's cool. It looks very cool. And Joaquin Phoenix is a really great actor. But I almost felt like, I was like, is he trying to make a black comedy? Is this a black comedy? And then, like, they have these, like, really beautiful battle scenes. And, like, it does look like a painting. It looks fucking magnificent. But, like, I honestly don't understand the vibe that it's trying to portray. And I found it more comical than anything. And I'm like, is it supposed to be like this? So it drove me a little furious. But I liked it, but I think it's stupid. Like, I can't believe he wasted this much money making this movie.
Well, I feel like part of the reason I didn't want to see it, or I didn't care to see it, was because I thought that, like, maybe I was wrong. I thought I read an interview where he was like, yeah, if I don't win the Oscar for this, it's fucking stupid. It's like, that's not why you make shit. Like, you really shouldn't be making stuff just to win an Oscar.
Like, I love when old cranky men, like, make comments, and some of his I actually like. But he says a lot of stupid shit sometimes.
But I mean, like, look, here's the thing. Alien is Alien. It's, like, it's amazing, you know? Like, Blade Runner is probably, like, I think my favorite science fiction movie of all time. I love Legend. I think Thelma and Louise is fantastic. I've got mixed feelings about Gladiator. The best part of it being Joaquin Phoenix. He has burned up a lot of goodwill from those movies that I do like, though. I mean, Prometheus enraged me. Alien Covenant, I was like so Prometheus. Angry.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of do.
There's parts of it that are amazing that I'm like, oh, God, like, this is great. And then there's parts where I'm like, these are the dumbest fucking people on the planet. Yeah. And then somebody tried to point out, like, yeah, but you don't have a problem, you know, when you watch Friday 13th. I'm like, yeah, because I'm watching Friday fucking 13th. I'm not watching, like, I don't want to see Friday 13th in space. That's what, or if I do, it's I want to watch Jason X. I don't want to watch Prometheus. I mean, everybody in that fucking movie was stupid. Like, they were so fucking dumb that I got angry. And
no,
I was like,
there's some decisions that were made that you were like, what the fuck? Is this the future? Did we evolve at all? Like, what is wrong with humans?
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, but you know what? Like, here's the thing. Next to Alien Covenant, which comes out a few years later, I'm like, okay, well, I'll go see that because whatever. I'm going to go see an Alien movie if it's coming out, whatever. And Alien Covenant made me even more enraged, where I was just like, I couldn't get over it. That I was like, man, now I want to go back and rewatch Prometheus. Let me tell you something. The first 10 minutes of Prometheus, saw it in the theater, opening night, 3D, Arclight. I think it was the Dome. I can't remember, but it was 3D. I think it was the Dome. And I was like, the first opening, you know, beginning with, like, the engineer character is, like, by, you know, whatever, and then he commits suicide, and you see, like, the DNA, whatever. I was like, this is the movie. I cannot fucking wait for this movie. Like, this is great. And then within 10 minutes, I was like, when they start introducing people, like, this person's the, you know, he's the cartographer. He's the geologist who's going to freak out when he sees a new life form, because that's what, like, a geologist would do, right? Or a cartographer, a guy who makes maps with these two balls that are supposed to make maps for him, and he gets lost.
Yeah.
And I was like, these are the dumbest fucking people in the fucking, in the world. And I blame Ridley Scott, because I guarantee there was a good script ages ago for that movie. In fact, I remember when I heard the premise of that movie, I was like, this sounds amazing. And then they got the guy from Lost to fucking step in, and he rewrote shit, and it was just like, fuck you guys. So, yeah, I didn't see Napoleon. That's my long-winded way of being like, fuck that movie.
It's fucking weird. Just like a lot of his other stuff that kind of sucks, although that show was really cool. But I know he didn't direct all the episodes. Or did he? He only produced it, right? And then I watched a movie called The Homesman. This was like a Western that was recommended to me, and I did really like it. Tommy Lee Jones is in it, and what's her face? Now I can't remember her name. From Boys Don't Cry.
Hilary Swank?
She's in it, and it's actually really good. It's sad. It's definitely a black comedy where, like, these terrible things happen to people in the Midwest, obviously, especially during that time period. Traveling anywhere was, like, certain death. And so they're transporting these, like, three women, like, hysterical women who, for some reason or another, in the West have, like, a horrible life, you know, and they've gone crazy now. And so Cuddy, who's Hilary Swank, like, takes them to this nun who is played by Meryl Streep. And I'm going to spoil it for everybody, and I'm sorry, so if you want to move ahead, go ahead. But And it, the funniest thing that happens is Hilary Swank is just desperate for a husband this whole time. And she goes to old ass Tommy Lee and she's like, will you marry me? And he's like, no, lady, like, I'm a piece of shit. Like, why do you want to marry me? And then she convinces him to have sex with her. And then she immediately kills herself right after. And you're like, she hated her life so much after fucking Tommy Lee Jones that she had to die. But I really liked it. Other than that, it's funny. It's like a good, like, black, comedy Western, if you will. Enjoyed it. I really did. And then the shows I've been watching, obviously True Detective just ended. Did you watch?
No, I haven't watched any of it yet.
None of it? Did you watch the other season?
No, none of it. Nope. None of it.
You watched not even season one.
I've seen season one.
Okay, that's the only
I love season one.
You've seen.
Oh, yeah. Christ.
Well, I actually really did like it, and it's kind of funny because Nick Palazzo, whatever his last name is, he's been kind of being a baby man about the continuous storyline from season one to season four, and it's not like a storyline. It's more like an Easter egg, you know, where they put in like little nods to season one. I honestly could have done without it. It, like, holds itself on its own. So, like, they could have totally just not mentioned season one at all and just gone ahead with this, like, different storyline. I did really like it. I will say I was having a conversation with a friend, and he said his term was, this is getting a little Bloomhouse-y, which I kind of agree. You know, something gets a little bit of cheesy horror.
Yeah, and you
still like it, but it's a little bit of cheese. And so it did honestly get that way for me. It was 6 episodes. Usually they're 8. I honestly wish this was 8 because the way it ended, it could have really benefited from those extra pieces of story to kind of flesh out that whole thing instead of just ending it how it did. That being said, I still really liked it. I really did. I like Jordy Foster.
I remember starting the second season, like when it came out, and I just not being into it at all. The one with Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell, I just did not grab me. Like, the first episode of season one, I was like, I'm in. Like, I'm hooked.
Season two and is cool. It's cooler than when I first watched it, I think I was disappointed because I wanted season one, and when it wasn't, I had a hard time accepting it. And then now going back and rewatching it, I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. It's different. It's a detective show. It's not, like, anything weirdly occulty, like kind of the first one had. Season three is sick. Like, Stephen Dorff and Mahershala Ali are fucking great. You should watch that too. But again, not like the first one. It's more like a detective show. And then this one has that, like, you know, supernatural feel, but like less occultish, if you will. And then, okay, so Shogun just aired. And along with Tokyo Vice, like, the two top shows right now are both of them. And they're both, like, Japanese-based. Tokyo Vice is fucking sick. I think Michael Mann produced the first season. I think the second one as well. It's all the same characters. It's so fucking good. I feel like it's so underrated. Maybe because people, you know, some people don't like subtitles. But it's, like, very well done. I really like it. And then Shogun just aired, which is fucking sick. It's about, like, what, the 1600s? Shogun.
Yeah. My stepdad loved the original miniseries. Yeah, what was it, 70s like, one
or
from
80s?
The 80s. Yeah. Early 80s, Richard Chamberlain.
I never saw it, which loved a lot of people were talking about how it's remade, and I thought about, like, trying to find it and see if it's something I should watch.
I'm sure you can find it.
Well, YouTube has most amazing things sometimes. But this one is actually done really, really well so far. I really like it. The main guy who plays, like, a Spanish minister murderer guy, he's from this movie Lady Macbeth, which was, like, one of the first Frances Pugh films I saw. I think it came out in, like, 2016.
Florence Pugh?
Yeah. Fuck. Florence
Pugh.
Yeah. Came out, like, 2016, 2017, but it's cool to see him in something. He sounds exactly like Tom Hardy, which is weird because he has the same voice. And then The Ones Who Live, The Walking Dead, I watched. Only one episode. So
really?
Yeah, okay, so during unemployment, you know, you're looking for something to do. I had never seen The Walking Dead. And so the next 5 months, I just watched it all 11 seasons. and I fucking finished it. And then at the end, you obviously have watched so much of them that you like love these characters. And it goes through like a it goes through its time of where the storyline's really good or the storyline's really bad. Like it does fluctuate, but as a whole, I really like it. And then I obviously wanted to watch all the off series, and this one, Rick, you know, Grimes, that character, he left season 8 maybe. And then they had a few more seasons out him, and they never quite clarified until the very end if he like died or not. And so this is their like kind of continuation, Michonne and Rick Grimes. And so only one episode, but it was actually really great. I think zombies are still really scary, you know, but now it more focuses on like, no, humans are the real monsters, you know, type of thing. And it just kind of shows like what's been happening to Rick and Michonne since they left the original series. Yeah. But I really like it. It's kind of hard not to feel for these characters watching them so long and then not wanting to see their continuation stories.
Sure. I don't have anything against Walking Dead. I remember watching the first few episodes and like, and I also remember like, I remember reading the comic books like when they first came out, and I just, to me though, it was just like, I was like, I feel like haven't we said everything we needed to say with the George Romero movies? And I mean that in like the best possible way. Like, I mean the first three George Romero films, where I feel like those are such, I don't know. It's just my take on it. It's just like, yeah, I just feel like these are just extensions of what George Romero already did. And yeah, again, that's not a problem.
Yeah,
that, you know,
I was gonna say everything's an extension of what someone wants.
Sure, but there's at least 20, like something like 20 Days Later, like at least has something like fresh about it, you know, where I'm like, whoa, you know, like that. There's something, I don't know. But whatever, zombie movies, like aside from the original three Romero films are like some of my favorite films of all time. But generally speaking, I realize, you know, I was going to say, I don't really like zombie movies, but I actually do love Fulci's zombie. And, you know, whatever. I think it was probably because when Walking Dead, right after Walking Dead was successful, then it became this glut of like, you know, let's get zombies. Zombies now. And it was just like, oh my God. I was like, I can't deal with that. I also got really angry at Universal Studios tore down the all-year-round Universal Studios Monsters, haunted house. For The Walking Dead, I was like, is this what we're doing? We're shitting on the past to embrace this, you know, this thing that's just like, you know, become popular. But whatever. I mean, I have no real problem with it. And I think from what I hear, Walking Dead's great. It just, you know, it's people that I, you know, that ruin things for me. Like when people were like, oh, somebody was like, oh, this is the greatest thing with zombies ever. And I was like, oh, have you seen Night of the Living Dead? They're like, what's that? I'm like, I'm going to fucking shoot myself in the head. Like, that's the type of idiots that are like, out there in this world. And that's just me being snobby. I can admit it. I'm honest.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool. So,
not much. I really have not watched much. I haven't had a chance to really, you know, watch anything. One thing I did see that I really enjoyed was a Destroy All Neighbors, which was it's on Shudder. Check it out. It's Jonah Ray, who you know I like him. Like, you know, there's something about him that I find inherently likable.
Who is this?
Do you remember? Do you remember when Mystery Science Theater came back? Did you ever see the guy who was hosting Mystery Science Theater? That wasn't Joel or Mike. It was Jonah Ray. Yeah. He plays this guy who's, you know, he's he's trying to craft like the greatest prog rock album of all time.
Oh my God.
He's
that's funny.
He's like, he lives in this shitty apartment building with his girlfriend that he kind of like, he's constantly making excuses for why things aren't working out. And then they get this new neighbor who's played by Alex Winter under like very, very heavy prosthetics. Uh-huh. A scuffle ensues at one point and Alex Winter's character ends up dead, but still ends up tormenting / befriending Jonah Ray's character. And then it's a series of escalations that, like, you're like, oh, this is getting, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and more bodies start piling up. And it's, but it's really funny. It's a lot of practical effects, a lot of makeup effects. It's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it. There was moments that I was like, it was starting to lose me, and then it would, you know, turn a corner and pick me right back up again. And then at the end, I was like, this is how I would want this movie to end. Like, this is a good, solid flick. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't think of a better way to end it. I rewatched The Lady Killers, the original one with Alec Guinness.
Oh, yeah, okay.
If you haven't seen that, check that out. It is a delight. I saw a movie that I've been wanting to see for over 10 years now. I'd heard about it a long time ago. A movie called Tender Dracula, and it stars Peter Cushing. It was like the 70s French horror comedy where like these screenwriters and these two actresses have to go to this castle to basically convince this like aging horror film star that, like, because he wants the aging horror film star is basically like, I'm not doing a horror film ever again. I want to do only romance films or, you know, whatever. And is the horror star like is he a vampire? Is he not a vampire? What the fuck is he? I don't know. I don't have no fucking clue what happens in this movie. I enjoyed it, but I have no fucking clue what happened. And then last night, I went to the Egyptian again, and I got to see, The Fog, which I had rewatched.
The Fog?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2 years ago. That was 2022? Yeah. 2022. And then prior to that, I had watched. The last time I had seen it was at the Egyptian. And I saw that Halloween 3 and Night of the Creeps. So they were doing a Tom Atkins triple feature. And then Tom Atkins came
out.
And I love that guy. I mean, he's a fucking treasure. I mean, all he does in his Q&As, though, is he basically just talks about what you just saw, like literally being like, and then there's this part when I say, you know, I've got good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here. What's the bad news? The bad news, they're dead. And it's like, yeah, dude, we just literally saw you. Like, he's just repeating what you just saw, and it's wonderful. But I love The Fog. I mean, I said this, you know, it was pouring rain in Los Angeles last night. So when we walked out of the Egyptian, it was like torrential downpour. And I was just still so giddy about having seen that in the theater because it's such a beautiful, beautiful film to see on a big screen, and it's definitely my top three Carpenter films of all time, hands down.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's my favorite score of his. I think it's just one of those really just, it's such a solid, nice, tightly packed movie. Great cast. We were talking about my buddy that I saw it with. We were talking about ensemble casts because that one really has it. You know, Jenny Mealy Curtis, Janet Leigh, Adrian Barbeau, Tom Atkins, Nancy Loomis, I'm trying to think of who else, Charles Cyphers, all these different people, John Houseman shows up in it for a second, all these people, and I was like, oh, what a great ensemble, Hal Holbrook, and then I was like, oh, but The Thing also is an ensemble cast, and my friend made a good point, he's like, yeah, but there's a star of The Thing, like, you know who the star of The Thing is. In The Fog, there is no star, everybody has their own time, you know, on screen, that, like, there's their own story that they're working towards, so it's a really good movie, so if you haven't seen it in a while, I definitely recommend it. I mean, I own it, but I still, like, if it's going to play in a theater, I want to go see it just because that fucking... And, yeah. Brian Fuller, Kevin Williamson were there, sitting a few rows behind us, a bunch of chatty Cathys. Had to get up and move seats.
Really?
In the very beginning. Yeah, I mean, they were like, you know, like, I'm joking, they weren't talking during the movie, but like before the movie, they were like, just like, I was trying to talk to my friend, I was like, we just got to get up and move, because we can't hear each other, like...
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
It is. It's pretty funny. I just thought that was something. It was just one of those, like, oh, yeah, you know. But, yeah, it was second time I had gone to the Egyptian since it had been reopened. Still getting used to it. Still trying to, you know, get my bearings on that place. But, you know, it's like all the places that I love are changing. So I just, you know, you got to change with it or whatever. I still haven't gone to what used to be Cine Family.
Oh, no, I can't. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I know that's so snobby.
I know,
that's
but
my snobby moment for this episode.
No. The reason I haven't gone there since they've reopened because I have the same snobby feeling where it's like, you know, it's like, no, this was like home to me. This was like, this place meant so much to me, and this the atmosphere and the environment this place had for the people who were the in attendance. Like, it was hell for the people who worked there apparently, and I'm not. That sucks, and I feel so bad for them. I'm just saying that, like, there was a community that was being built that was built around that place, and, you know, one asshole had to really fuck it all up. But
also,
I love
Cine
Family, and I don't want
to
go back
to the people who run Braindead, but like, it's just not the same. Their intention is to sell, and like, I don't know. It skews me out. It all just skews me out. But
they got good programming, though.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say that because there's still the Black Heart group. Which, if you guys were part of Cinefamily in Los Angeles, like, the black card was their membership card. And there's mm-hmm. always two lines, like, if you wanted to get in, like, if you were a member or if you were a civilian. But there's still a group on Facebook.
That's such and, I know, I'm a part of it, but I haven't time, also gone on Facebook in forever.
It's like half talking shit, but half admiring. Like, people will post, like, the new schedule under Brain Dead, and sometimes, like, people will comment on it and be like, yeah, it's cool, or some people will be like, I still don't know. I mean, I'm not even in LA anymore, but, like, I'm so
it's
just,
it's tough. Like, yeah. I said, like, I have, it's funny, sometimes I have fonder movies, memories of the moments I've had there than the movies I've had there.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone to see there, which is weird. Like, I remember a friend of ours who was on the podcast, our friend Steve, he and I have so many memories of him and I, like, trying to rush to make it to a movie on time and, like, barreling down those little, like, alleyways and, the, like, kind of, like, behind the, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about, from, like, Fairfax, like, you know, where the kind of where the Grove is and Canner's Deli. Like, those, like, back alleyways, just, like, bombing down those, trying to get, like, a parking spot to, like, so we can rush into a movie. And, like, you know, as much as I loved the all-night Nightmare on Elm Street marathon, like, I, you know, and I, how much those movies are important to me, I also have fond memories of, like, being outside with, like, some of the Dream Warriors just smoking a cigarette, and, like, one of them being like, hey, can I bum one off you? And I was like, sure. And they're like, is this a menthol? And I was like, sure is. And they're like, ugh, gross. And I remember getting to be like, hey, well, beggars can't be choosers, you know? And, like, just having little moments where I'm just like, God, this is such a great, like, I don't know, so many fond memories, you know?
I know.
And
yeah, it's just, that's why it feels like you're cheapening those memories if you go to something new.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, it's like, it's still, in some capacity, in some weird fucked up way, that thing still exists. It's still playing movies. You can still go see good movies. I haven't gone, I mean, I'm not saying this, like, I haven't gone either, so I'm not, like,
back then to now, you know what I mean? Like,
sure,
never get,
sure.
I hope they never get rid of it, even though.
But, like, you know, I wonder how you'd feel about the Egyptian now going there, because it is different.
Kinda,
like, when you go in there,
know.
It's like a museum,
yeah,
to the
be weird.
To this place that you love.
Next time I go back, which hopefully will be one day.
Also, not that anybody's listening to this, you know, like, as far as the people who work the Egyptian and the American Cinematheque, Netflix, any of that stuff, but are you really going to fucking close the concession stand 10 minutes after the movie started?
Ew.
It was a 10 o'clock movie. I'll give you that. 10 o'clock movie. But goddamn, I was like, you know what? I want a soda. Like, I had my coffee before the movie. Oh, I had my coffee, and then they took it off the menu, and I'm like, are you guys fucking kidding? Because it was funny, because when my buddy and I were walking in the theater, I was like, he was complaining about how they didn't have goobers anymore, so we stopped at Walgreens and got goobers, and I got snow caps, you know, whatever, cool. And I was like, yeah, you know what pissed me off? They don't have fucking coffee there anymore. Like, I can't believe I did that Sergio Martino double feature without coffee. And then when I got there, I was like, oh my God, they got coffee. And then I ordered it, and they took it off the list, and I'm like, guys, what the fuck? Like, and then, you know, and then so I got my coffee. It was like, we got there a half an hour before the movie. We're sitting there talking, blah, blah, blah. Movie starts 10 minutes in. I'm like, I want to get a soda. I go up there, and, like, they're all just hanging around. I'm like, you guys done? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, it's 10 minutes after the fucking movie. Like, I'd get it if it was like 11:30, you know? But fuck, man, like 10 o'clock? 10? 10? Come on, guys, get your shit together. That's, you know, I got this book. I'm showing it to you, Jess.
Oh, cool. Half-Tone Horrors.
Via the screen.
The history. Oh,
that's
wait,
right.
Cool.
It is a history of horror movie comic
cool.
books.
Oh, cool. That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's crazy because it's like, there's some stuff I didn't even know existed. Like, I didn't know there was an X, the Man with the X-Ray Eyes comic book. There's some of these stuff I did know about. Like, I did know, like, there's a lot of, like, some of the Nightmare on Elm Street comics and the Child's Play comic
that's
books.
Cool. It reminds me of, like, it's funny, I was just thinking about this, but I saw Guillermo del Toro during, like, one of the Comic-Cons, and this is when Pacific Rim had just come out, and he was like, and it was about how there was going to be a comic that came out, and then I never remember seeing it, and I don't think it actually ever came out. But the whole panel was just to talk about this comic. But anyway, I was thinking, I was like, there's a lot of horror comics or, like, comics that have come out from movies, right? And it's funny that you just have this book now.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, like, there's some of these, like I said, I had heard of. Like, I knew that there was a Waxwork comic book back when it came out, because as a kid, I almost bought it, but I was too scared of, like, stuff like that, and now it's, like, impossible to find. I knew there was a Motel Hell comic book that came out a few years ago, because I bought the trade paperback, you know, I searched for it, found it, and then I got it, and I was like, it's just not that good. Like, there's just something about it that's just not grabbing me, like, of course, the way that the the movie does. But it's still like this is a really cool thing. Like I said, there's stuff I didn't know that existed. Like I didn't know there was a Girl Who Walks Home Alone at Night comic book. But sure enough, there it is. Actually, maybe I think like some panels came, were included on the DVD. But yeah, I don't know. Like a lot of cool shit. There was a Leprechaun comic book, a Warlock comic book, the Warlock comic book. I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
There was like a Terminator one. There's a lot of actual.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And some of these I had. Like there's this one. I just passed by. It was a Jason Goes to Hell comic book adaptation of the movie, and I had it because it had a glow in the dark. It had a glow in the dark hockey mask. I had that for a long time, and it's like some cool stuff. So, the other thing I wanted to kind of talk about real quickly was video games. I don't know. I know you play Mario Kart because we've played it together at certain points. But do you still play anything?
Well, I do. It's funny. There was actually a game that I was playing not too long ago that's like really scary, and I totally forgot the name of it. But I play mostly Nintendo games, so I have a Switch, and that's mm-hmm. my product of choice for games. So I usually play mm-hmm. Nintendo games. But back in the day, and this is funny because this will go into what we're talking about, but my cousin Julie had a PlayStation, and she used to live with us, and she used to play Silent Hill and Resident Evil and like all these horror games that used to scare the fuck out of me. And I never played them, but I would sit on the couch behind her for hours just watching her play. And so
Silent Hill really got me. The first one did. And funny thing is that people even say that like that was a game, that franchise, that got better it went along. Like Silent Hill 2 apparently is like amazing.
No, I really liked it. So I really liked all those horror games, especially like the early ones, where now looking back, the graphics aren't great, but I couldn't believe seeing anything like cooler as a kid. But the movie we did, and this is funny because I'm bringing this up because I just joined a music league, and so the music league has a Discord chat, and one of the chats is also like a TV and movie one. And so I saw this come up, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I've never seen that. That would be really fucking cool to do. And it's a movie called Sweet Home, 1989. It's a Japanese movie. Now, this was released in tandem with the video game of the same name, Sweet Home. I think it was like early Nintendo, Capcom game, which gave birth, which was like the basis to all the Resident Evil. And then, as you know, like, how it works from there, it's trickled down. So, like, every game was, like, this horror game right after those, like, games started to come out. So, I really love that idea. And, like, whether it's a movie and a comic or a movie and a game, I love, like, pairing it together. Because I think it's, like, a really cool, like, The Witcher was a game, now it's a show. And, like, imagine releasing, like, shit like that together. It would be, like, a nerd's dream.
Sure. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I brought up video games, was to tie it into the movie. It's funny because there's a lot of horror video games out there, but Resident Evil, I definitely credit for the one being like, maybe not the first one for me, but definitely the second one was like, oh shit, like this is, you get to play a George Romero film. Whereas the first one, it's like you're walking around this house. I do love the first one, but the second one was like, I think a little bit more, groundbreaking for me. But I remember 15 years ago reading about how Resident Evil was inspired by Sweet Home. And the great thing is the copy, I think, that you and I both watched had the commercial for the video game, and I was like, what the fuck, there's supposed to be subtitles, and I was like, oh, this isn't the actual movie, this is a commercial for the video game. And and the thing about the video game was so innovative, and it didn't come over, they didn't do a release over here because people just weren't interested in games like this in America at the time. But in like in 89, this is kind of a big deal, where it's like you play this game where like people can die in the game, and when they die, they're dead, and you have to, like, move on without them. So there's multiple ways that this game can end for you, and there's exploration, there's role-playing elements to it. I didn't read too much about the video game, just because I didn't. I'd be interested in checking it out, especially seeing how it correlates to the film that we watched.
Yeah, I would... I really would love to play it too. I mean, there are like older games that were horror based that I love too. Like
Like what?
Doom, most famously, like
Really? Okay.
Hellish. There's like demons that you're like shooting up and
Yeah,
stuff like that. Like, dude, I played that for years. When I had my pin company, that was like one of my favorite pins that I ever made was the God Mode pin from Doom. But no, I think it would be really fun. And plus, this movie is way better than I thought it was gonna be. And
So
it's
what's the
actually,
plot?
well, it was directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, who did Pulse and Cure. And Cure I watched more recently, back in October. Cure is scary as fuck. It's like a
Okay, I haven't seen
no,
it yet.
you
I wanted
should.
to.
It's obviously not anything like this movie at all, but it's really fucking good. Like a whole folkish like kind of horror based and reminds me everything reminds me of Fallen. I've mentioned it 100 times, but it's one of my favorite movies. But anyway, yeah, so what it is there's a TV reporter and the producer and his his young girl, which I'm not sure, really sure why she's there. Maybe she just didn't want to stay home alone. But he brings her along, and they're doing the story on the mansion. And in this old mansion that no one's been in for 30 some odd years, there's like a fresco that they unearth. And so they are doing this like new story documentary based on this like abandoned mansion and this art piece that's in there. And so it's like a TV reporter and the producer and the guy, the director, and his daughter. And like a random old man, and they break into this. They go into this like mansion that happens to be haunted by the ghost of a woman that we find out is like a woman who her baby was playing in the incinerator.
That's what you do,
I
yeah.
do I give away the whole thing yet? Because it's like my.
But here's the thing is that like I look, I'm telling you this. I watched this and I'll get into it, my
Yeah.
thoughts on it in a second, but like everything you're saying is 100% what happens, and I still don't know what the fuck happened to that movie. So I don't think you're giving anything away, because there was definitely times I'm going, wait, what the fuck? But continue.
Okay,
There's more.
so
She.
I honestly really loved it. I loved it too for like the props. So this reminded me a lot of like if someone mixed Haunting of Hill House and Poltergeist together. So they
See,
go into this
okay,
they go into
yeah.
this house and everything like now they do make some bad decisions, which like is the funny and they I feel like they tried to it's like one of those Japanese films that's like less terror based and more like a little slapstick, a little funny. But one of the cameraman and the part that pissed me off is like they find this giant axe in the house and the way he's carrying it is very wobbly and like they're all like running around. He's like, put that down. And then he puts it down blade up, which like pisses me the fuck off because I'm like, who puts an axe blade up? Like, bro, this is too much foreshadowing for me. I can't stand how stupid it is. But yeah, we'll come back to the axe in a minute. But the TV reporter who's doing the story, they're kind of being terrorized by like things breaking down. And then they could like hear voices. Like she's like kind of being taken possession a little bit by this voice, and it's like a woman ghost. And then,
Yep.
everyone starts dying, except like the reporter dies, and the cameraman dies pretty great.
Yeah, okay. So, I really
Yeah.
liked it. One thing I noticed though, it was weird because it was like when it clicked, it didn't unclick. So, one of the things I like about Japanese horror is that it's very like it's ahead of the curve. It's ahead of us. Even like think about House or Houseu, like nothing in America had done it was anything. There was nothing like that in America, the floating head, like the
Yeah.
fucking animation, all that stuff, right? And then you get something that's a little bit inspired by David Lynch, Tetsuo the Iron Man, which I think I is one of my favorite Japanese films
Yeah, I
of all
love him.
time,
Yeah.
And I'm only talking from like 70s, 80s. I'm not even talking about like the 60s stuff, like Onibaba or Kurenko. I'm not Kurenko or I'm not even talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about just like 70s and 80s, and even the 90s. When you get into like The Ring, it's like we didn't have anything like The Ring here. Until they remade The Ring here. So Japanese horror was always kind of like doing its own thing in a really unique way. I really like Sweet
Yeah.
Home, But when I was watching, I go, there's so much in this movie that reminds me of the original Evil Dead. Like the there was like there's camera shots of like the POV of when they're driving, where I'm like, this is reminds me of like the POV of Evil Dead when it's like zooming across like the whatever. When they walk into the house and it's like all dusty and like there's a there's moments like that's a shot from Evil Dead. And then there's even a part where this, I don't want to give anything away, but again, I don't think you're gonna miss anything. There's a the old guy that you're speaking of has this weird disintegration scene, and I was like, I was totally in love with it. And I was like, oh my God, this is the end of Evil Dead when like he throws the book in the fire and all the different like possessed people, not that this guy was possessed in the movie, all like start to break, decompose, like blood, like in a really gross, sloppy, squishy way. So it's just weird to me that like, this movie felt it was inspired to me felt like it was inspired by Sam Raimi and the Evil
Yeah,
Dead.
okay.
And there's little bits of Evil Dead too, and I'm not
I mean,
again.
I can see why you're saying that, and because it is, but I feel less that way and more towards like Poltergeist, but with like
Haunting of Hill.
with like
Yeah.
like the Japanese kind of feel behind it, because obviously like even in Poltergeist at the very end, you have this like big mechanical looking ghost creature, that screams, and you have
Yeah.
that here. Obviously, it's a little bit different because it's like this horrific ghost of this like
The
Japanese
mother,
woman,
yeah.
wife, mother who goes crazy and then like kills a bunch of children because of it, and then kills herself. And so I don't know. I think it's cool. I mean, it does feel borrowed from a lot of things, but I like that it's this guy's earlier work that like I've really come to like too. I
Yeah,
like
it just
the
to me that,
props and
yeah.
the makeup, like the dead baby. It looked fucked up. I couldn't believe. I was like,
It's fine. It does
they're
look fucked up.
showing this dead baby, like holy shit. And I did like some of the the effects, like they were super fun looking, even the monster at the end.
Yeah, I mean, like, and like the like, kind of going back to the axe thing, that was what made me think of Evil Dead too, where it's like it's that I that kind of like that the penchant to lean into like slapstick a little bit, like the axe to me, I was like, oh, this is a
Really,
big setup, this
yeah,
is a big
and it
setup,
feels
and
like
then when you had the
it's
axe
very
like
Asian.
scraping up against the ceiling as it's on its way down, I was like, Jesus, come on, like this is fucking
Yeah.
hilarious, like that's what made me think of Evil Dead as well. It's like that tendency to kind of lean towards slapstick, and I think that might be another thing about this movie that I found interesting was that I don't know if it was a translation thing, but for all this fucking shit that's going on in this movie, everybody, it seems like the tone of it seems light.
Yeah. Well, the
You know?
music too.
It
The
seems
music
good.
is very light, which I think makes a big difference sometimes.
The music reminded me of, speaking of video games, this is a video game that hadn't come out yet. It reminded me of the music from the Final Fantasy video games, where I was like, it very distinctly. But again, those movies, to my knowledge, I mean, what, 89,
Yeah.
right? I don't think they ex at least the first one might have existed. But like it like as the games progressed later and the graphics got better and the sound got better, the soundtrack sounded very similar to the one in Sweet Home. But I still liked
Yeah.
it. Like I again, I'm not like when I was saying that like it's derivative of Evil Dead, I'm not complaining about that. I'm just saying it's just interesting to me because like, Japan usually sets I the ones I'm used to seeing are the ones that are like they're kind of establishing their own voice or setting their own trends. Whereas even if it's reminiscent of Poltergeist, it's still this movie feels like it's not its own thing. It feels like kind of like a compilation of other influences,
Yeah.
mostly American. So I think it's really I think to me it's great is that like Hausu and Tetsuo and Ringu and all and they all feel like they're very much like these are our we've this is our country, this is our we've made these. Whereas Sweet Home felt like, hey, we love American horror films. Let's make an American horror film. That's what it felt like in a great way. Like I really enjoyed it. But it didn't feel like it was trying to set its own identity as much as it was just very upfront about who it's borrowing from. And I liked that. But again, I don't know how this would translate into a video game. I'm very
I
fascinated.
guess like there's a little thing that mentions like it took its favorite like the because it was produced by the same producer who produced the movie obviously, but they just took like their favorite pieces of it and put it into a game format.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, that does sound cool. Like that's the perfect idea though, isn't it? Like it has like a basis and a storyline and like something tangible for people to watch as well who might not be into playing games or might like. be into both, or, you know, like stuff like that, or might be into watching their, you know, cousin play games. Like, it is very cool, and I like that they released it together. And the movie is fun. The movie's super fun.
Yeah.
Even the ending too. I like.
Well, which one? I feel like there's multiple endings.
There really is. Because, like, it is really funny. The old man, too. Like, there's, like, a random old man that they meet in the woods. And I can't remember how he ties into to the house.
He's that American character in a horror film. The one that, you know, don't go down there. You're doomed, you know.
He tries to help them at the end. But he's like, no, don't do it. Let me do it. And then he does. And that reminds me, again, of Poltergeist. He goes and gets her. But he ends up, like, being burned by some, like, goopy, like, otherworldly acid, I guess, when he comes out. It's just, like, all very funny. But I was talking about the end where they find, like, the baby sarcophagus. And, like, it's the ending is so good and so stupid. But, like, and I hate to ruin it, but, like, when they take out the baby from the baby sarcophagus and she just gives it to this monster, I'm just, like, fucking losing it. It's just so funny to me. But I don't hate it. I kind of like that ending where they're like, is this what you wanted? Your stupid little dead baby.
Which is funny because, like, you know, that's the other thing, too, is, like, Houseu, I remember thinking this last night where I was like, as weird as that movie is and it's kind of over the top that movie can be, there's still, like, a really strong, like, I feel feelings at the end of that movie, you know? Like, I feel sad. Whereas in this one, I think I wanted to feel like, oh, mom and, you know, the mom and the baby are back together. But I didn't. I was just kind of like, okay, that's weird. I guess that's going to be the end of the movie. But, I mean, like, I'm not complaining.
She, like, killed a bunch of, like, neighboring children. And so that's why, like, the baby face is all over her, like, monster body. Because those are all the babies.
Yeah, but I just feel like if
well, why would you feel bad for that? It's like, bitch, you fucking killed a bunch of kids.
You know, again, we sympathize with we have different levels of empathy. But my problem is that if a ghost shows up and is like, I'm gonna do something bad, I would the first thing I think it was like, hey, what unresolved thing can we figure out first? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a pretty standard horror ghost story trope. And it's like, it took you guys the length of the movie to figure out that she just wants her baby back. It's like, come on, you know, like that's easy shit. But, you know, again, I had a lot of fun with it. It was also a juxtaposition, speaking of, like, ghost story tropes of, like, you know, a ghost shows up and tries to, like, resolve an unresolved issue. Tonally, it was very different than when the other movie I saw last night, which was The Fog, you know? Like, it's like, this one's a little bit more insane, you know, kind of crazy, more of, like, a wild, but it's still trying to be, at the end of the day, it's still trying to have that ghost story, like, all it wants to do is just, you know, she wants to correct that one thing that happened, similar to kind of what happens in The Fog, but just wildly different tones, you know? One feels like a campfire story, one feels like a fucking, like I said, American horror film, which, you know, is great. I am interested in seeing his other stuff. Like, I've wanted to see Cure for a long time.
That was, like, one of the sneaky movies that I watched during, like, that, you know, Halloween time. It's really good. It's very creepy, and then he also did Pulse, and he's done a ton of other stuff, stuff that I want to watch for sure, you know, trying to go through them, like, oh, he's done, like, dozens and dozens and dozens of movies, and those are the only two that I've actually seen, but he's, like, Cure is scary enough for me to, like, not watch anything he's ever done again.
Okay, cool, because I still want to see it.
No, yeah, you definitely
have
to see it. Cure, I would definitely say it's really good. And even this was, like, super fun, like, very different, tone from his other movies. Cure is a very serious movie. Well, this one's like we talked about, like, a little silly on that side, but still scary and gross. And it's free on YouTube, so I would definitely, like.
And it's funny because, like, the beginning of this movie had a different tone too, where I was kind of into it. Like, where they go to, like, I don't know if it's the chamber, I don't know where they're going, Chamber of Commerce or wherever they're going to get permission to fucking shoot in this house that is owned by the town or whatever. And it's, I don't know if it's raining outside, like, there's a weird vibe where it's like they're in this office and there's, like, it's raining outside and there's this, like, weird clerk there.
I was like, what is going on?
And I was like, what? I didn't know what kind of movie this was going to be, and I was like, this is going to be really fucking interesting. And then, you know, it turned into the movie that it did, which was great, but, like, it had a different madcap quality to it in the beginning that kind of changed into a different one. But like the clerk with the weird like steampunk glasses for a second, and like I don't know, just weird like imagery that I just really got. I was really getting behind. I remember writing like I love the look of this film, and then the look changes, but you know, not
yeah,
for the worse.
Yeah, it almost
so,
seemed like an like very Haunting on Hill House, like adventure-y, almost adventure-ish, and then it is
yeah.
horror, but it is still a little campy. It's like you said, it pulls from a lot, and I do really like it. Like, I like how it pulled itself together, even if not all of it makes sense.
Yeah, I think at a story level, I can definitely see I feel the poltergeist,
yeah.
you know, like, story-wise. But visually, I definitely feel like, you know, it's got a little bit of, Evil Dead, Sam Raimi, like, through and through. And, like, it's funny because, like, one of the things I wanted to point out is that, so this movie comes out, and there's a video game that comes out, and then it inspires Resident Evil, which a few years later, spawns its own horror movie franchise.
I still like the first one.
You know what I mean?
So it's like fucking great. Even the other ones, I haven't watched them in years, but I like Mila Jovovich.
It's just interesting, you know what I mean? Like, in that same comic book that I was just showing you, it's like, it's funny to me that, like, they have, you know, comic books that start, like, so you have Marvel Comics puts out Blade. Right, and then Blade spawns a movie, and then Marvel churns out a movie adaptation of Blade. You know the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's that weird of like kind of that weird kind of coming back to itself, like a serpent eating its tail. You know, to me that's what I felt like about this, where it was like kind of like you get Sweet Home, you get the video game, you get Resident Evil, you get the Resident Evil movies, and it's like it's just coming back full circle to cinema, and I find that really fascinating. You know, I mean, the Resident Evil games are on Switch. You could easily play them.
No.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely the Resident. Yeah. And you could actually play. I mean, there's a way you could play Sweet Home as well. I'm sure there's an emulator on there, and there's like a, you can get like a ROM for Sweet Home that has an English translation. It's very simple. But there's also like some other great horror games. Like, I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacre game for all those. Check it out. Find me on Xbox.
The game is still like the fucking funniest game of ever.
Oh my god, I just loved that game so much. And if you love, you know, if you really like the Friday the 13th game, you'll love the Texas Chainsaw Massacre one because it's the same people, but just set in the chainsaw universe and like not as much as you get from the Friday the 13th ones, where it's like every fucking movie gets represented in some, or minus X, I guess, in some capacity. Chainsaw only has the rights to the first movie, so they're just, now they're building all the DLC they're coming out with is building off of this fictional prequel to the original movie that they've, you know, or that they're making and everything like that. But it's a lot of fun. So, I mean, it's great that horror games are still going strong. But I feel like I'm trying to think of, like, aside from, like, the Halloween game and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game for Atari. Do you know there was an Atari game for the Entity? Or there was supposed to be? I think
really?
There was an actual.
That's hilarious. Does
yeah.
It... No, I was going to make a crude joke, but...
Yeah, no, would it be a crude joke?
I mean that's
yes,
what
would...
happens.
Does that happen in the game? I don't know. I don't know, but, like, I don't even know if it got a proper release. I just know that it was planned. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to talk. I know somebody who might know. But, like, aside from those, like, kind of those early Atari games, which is just basically, like, you know, you're just chasing something or something's chasing you, whatever, and maybe, like, the first Friday the 13th video game, which I still think is fucking fantastic, I wonder if Sweet Home was, like, the first real in-depth horror video game, you
yeah.
know? I don't know. I don't know, but I'd be interested in checking it out because the weird trailer or commercial for it in the beginning, I was like, I could get
Hell
into
yeah.
this.
I know.
So.
Someone, we have to investigate the internet because someone
yeah,
must
yeah.
have. There's lots of angels out there
oh, yeah.
doing the Lord's work and uploading games and movies like they did here. So this
oh, yeah.
Sweet Home 1989 is on YouTube for free for everyone. Everyone with an internet.
Yeah, so check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's definitely worth it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That pretty much wraps up Sweet Home. And again, we've talked about this for, 30 minutes, whatever, you know, however long. I don't think we've given away anything because I still don't know what the fuck happened in that movie. So definitely check it out. Nothing's been spoiled. Have fun. And, we'll check out. Yeah, I'll see
Bye.
You next time. Bye.